Cap and Co. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
White Sox would probably have like a 5-game lead in the division already. I'm telling you what, the vibe around that camp when I was there, Danny and I went to see them play at the Brewers Stadium, American Family Field. We sat in the first row. We looked out at the talent on that field. Danny, that talent that day and the vibe. And there's Luis Robert and there's Eloy Jimenez, these two young kids. And Dylan Cease pitching and Tim Anderson out there and Jose Abreu. Like, dude, there was a lot of talent out there. I mean, it was a really good vibe, and now, of course, everything's been shut down. But if Jeff Passan's right, we may get baseball back sooner than we may have all thought. Tim Anderson's been a great friend of this show. He's one of my favorite guys to talk to, and he's kind enough to join us from his home here in the Chicago area now. Tim, good morning. How do we find you and your family today?
Good morning. We're doing good. Still in Arizona enjoying the heat and just, you know, soaking up as much time as we can.
So, you're out in the Arizona area. I know you have made Chicago your off-season kind of full-time home, but spring training was going on out there. This report comes this morning that Jeff Passan said MLB is talking about playing all the games for the foreseeable future in Arizona at all of the different spring training facilities, and players would be quarantined, and then some different rules. We'll have the electronic strike zone. We'll have seven-inning games. Players would be mic'd up for TV. Players would be quarantined. No fans. This could be a real opportunity with everybody having no sports to watch for baseball to grab center stage. How do you feel about that?
You know, you just got to take whatever rules they got. But like you said, I think it is an opportunity for the game to grow, you know, with being mic'd up and obviously, you know, not allowing fans in the stadiums again. So there's going to be times where they really want to see it. So I think it's going to draw them, you know, a bit closer to baseball and make them love it more.
When you hear that maybe they would have to quarantine all players for the foreseeable future, 4.5 months potentially, you have a family. You like to go home to see your wife and your kids. How do you feel about that? But it would get baseball back, and you would be able to start getting paid again.
That may be tough to be away from my family, but I can't accept the fact that, you know, they got to eat. So I'm down for whatever to feed my family.
Right. So your wife would say to you, honey, if that's what we have to do, you're not going to play the rest of your life. If it's 4.5 months, but this is how you're going to feed us for the rest of our life together, I got to do what I got to do.
Yeah, go work. Go work. We'll see you after.
Yeah. Do you think most players would have the same perspective, or do you think there will be guys that go, nah, not doing it?
Obviously, it's going to be a little bit of both, I think. But with the guys that's being real with themselves, they'll get it. They'll understand it. You know, man, we grind all year. And just understanding the grind. And it's something that you love. You love the game of baseball, so you have to be willing to do whatever it takes to, you know, provide for the loved ones. And that's something that I'm willing to do. But I can't speak for everybody else.
Right. How are you staying in shape? Because the facilities have been closed, but you're always in great shape. How are you training now?
Yeah, just as much, you know, many workouts I can at home. And I'll get out with the family, man. We'll go walking. And, you know, just, you know, not sitting around doing nothing and not being still. So, you know, moving around much as I can and doing obviously some workouts here and there, you know, outside. But I'm going to be ready. There's nothing to worry about that.
Okay, so when I talked to you at spring training, I said to you, Tim, this vibe is different. I've been around the White Sox a lot. I've been around the Cubs even more. I had not seen a vibe like this since 2006, the year after the World Series. Did you notice a different vibe about your team, and how do you get that vibe back knowing what we've all been going through?
Yeah, I noticed that vibe. You know, spring training was going so smooth. I don't think it would be hard to find that vibe back, you know, obviously because it's going to be the same guys. We know the ultimate goal. We know what we're trying to do. So I think that vibe will instantly come back once we get back together. I don't think there's anything to worry about. We all look good on paper, but I think we got to go out and do it. I know we have to go out and do it and, not worry about the outside of what people are saying. Just control what we control and stay within ourselves and, play a good, clean game of baseball. I think we'll be fine.
White Sox star Tim Anderson, 2019 batting champion, is with us here at Cap & Company on ESPN 1000. Tim, if the commissioner picked up the phone and said, "Hey, Tim, I was listening to some sports radio. I just heard you. Give me some thoughts of what we could do that would connect with the younger audience. We may have this stage where there's no other sports. It's just us. I want to try things." Do you have any ideas that you think that might work?
I would mix a lot of music in, a lot of different music. That seems to attract kids. They love music. And I know when I was younger and, music was always my outlet. I would definitely mix in, as much music as I can that kids love. I think that it would draw their eye. At least they would hear the sound first and then it would draw their eye. So, I think music is a big thing in sports. And I think it's huge for kids because they, they listen to a lot of music and they dance at the ballpark a lot. So I think it's just, really about making those stadiums like a kid club, I guess.
I think that's a great idea. The other thing I would love to do, I would love for someone, whether it was you or whether it was somebody that the players would all listen to, and you had every single player listening, and you said, "Okay, guys, I'm holding in my hand the unwritten rules of baseball. And this unwritten rule book is going in the garbage can. No more, oh, my God, I can't believe that guy bunted in a no-hitter when we're only down 3 runs. And I can't believe that guy flipped his bat. And I can't believe that guy did." The unwritten rules go away. We're going to play and we're going to have fun.
That will make the game grow so much more. But, in baseball, you got a lot of guys with feelings. And they don't know how to remove those feelings.
Right.
So I think that's going to make it hard to get to that point. But we may catch that point with the new wave and the new generation. So I think that's why we got to set those goals now and allow those kids to see that. So when they do get there, the game will be very grown. So I think it's just being, allowing a lot of different things and just being open-minded to the game. It's just a game of baseball. We ain't really hurt nobody or, put nobody in danger. I think we're just out there enjoying the moment. So, I think a lot of guys just need to let go of their feelings. I think that's going to make the game a lot funner and make it grow a lot more and obviously, draw interest into the kids because we're going to be showing those emotions and being excited in moments that we're supposed to and not worrying about anybody saying anything about anything.
Tim, have you stayed in touch with teammates, with anybody from the White Sox, or is it pretty much, hunkered down just with my family?
It's pretty much, I see you on social media. I see a lot of guys on social media and a lot of guys on Twitter. But I know my teammates are doing fine, and I'm sure if they needed me, they would reach out. I'm just excited to get back with them and, ready to continue this journey on what we started. It's going to be fun. Like you said, man, the vibes were different. I'm excited which way we're moving. And, I think it's going to be a sight to see, man.
Has there been something that you've picked up? I wanted to learn guitar. I'm doing that. Or I wanted to learn to cook. Or I wanted to learn a language. Has there been something that, because you've got all this time, you've tried to learn?
I've been listening to a lot of music, so I may learn music. I may take that up as my hobby. Who knows?
How about your quarantine meal? Have you had a quarantine meal? Have you cooked? Who's doing the cooking in the house?
My wife's doing the cooking, man. I don't cook. I like to spend time with my kids, though, man. I'll watch the kids while she cook and, keep them entertained. But, I think I'm kind of running out of ideas, on how to entertain the kids. But good thing we got a pool. So, we kill some time in the pool and drain them that way. So when we go back inside, they'll be sleepy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, it's going good. Definitely, excited. At the moment, because I get to enjoy as much time as I can with my family, because around this time I would be all over the place. So just cherishing and being thankful for the moments that I have right now while we all on shutdown.
You had the music thing you've said a few different times. What kind of music do you listen to? See, they dog me here because I know what I like, old school classic rock. What does Tim Anderson listen to?
I listen to a lot of hip hop and rap, a lot of pain music, a lot of things that I be going through. So, you know, I think rap is my outlet. Music is my outlet. So it kind of gets, you know, kind of gets me to a better place.
Do you have, are you willing to listen to other stuff, whether it's classic rock, yeah, country music, or you're just going to stay in your lane?
Long as it sounds good, I'll listen to it. But for the most part, I do like to stay in my lane, but I'm open-minded. I'll listen to whatever.
Yeah, being open-minded, that's something I haven't been very good at in terms of my music taste. And my kids will say, okay,
you have to
experience other things and see if
you'll
find out you like something and go, I can't believe it.
Yeah, and then it may be great. Then you may not want to go back to the thing that you've been listening to. So, yeah, man, you got to always be open-minded. That's how you're going to grow.
Well, Zoom is a great thing to go on the computer and maybe do a Zoom chat with some of your teammates, because it sounds like maybe it's not this week, maybe it's not next, but in the next 6 weeks, we may get a chance to watch you defend your batting title.
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm excited about that.
God bless you. We will be in touch with you, and thanks for always picking up the phone for us.
No, thank you. Thank you for always calling me. That let me know someone thinking about me.
We are thinking about you. We are big fans of yours here on this show.
All right, thank you. Y'all have a good one. I appreciate you guys having me on.
You bet. God bless you and your family.
Thank you.
There you go. Tim Anderson of the Chicago White Sox. The Bulls search is continuing. Candidates have fallen off the board. I'm hearing one name more than others. But is it a concern that candidates have rebuffed the Bulls, or were they never serious candidates? That's all next.
This is Cap and Company.
Weekdays, 9 to noon.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome back. ESPN 1000. With Danny Zetterman, Chris Black, I'm David Kaplan. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So there was an interesting article Casey Johnson posted on NBC Sports Chicago. There's also a podcast they put out. Joe Cowley with an interesting article in the Sun Times that the Bulls have had some candidates pull out. John Paxson not involved, according to Cowley, in yesterday's interview with the Jazz general manager. They are now going to interview the Denver Nuggets general manager. And Adam Simon, who they had targeted as one of their guys from Miami, has decided to stay in Miami. And then a general manager in Toronto who works for Masai Ujiri, who had originally been on the Bulls list, but things changed dramatically once the virus hit and everything's been shut down, because to hire a guy like Sam Presti, who was at the top of the Bulls list, as well as Masai Ujiri, is probably an 8-year commitment somewhere in the $10 million a year range. And with no income coming in, they're making more than one hire here. They're going to have a number of new scouts, new front office staff that will work in concert with this new voice of basketball operations. And I can tell you, KC's reported this multiple times. John Paxson will do whatever this guy asks. If he says, go sit in the skybox with the owners, I don't need anything, that's where he's going. If he says, hey, can you fly out there and go see that kid play? Sure. Can you talk to that agent because you know him? Sure. Hey, you know what? I don't need you at all. Then he will just stay at the behest of Jerry and Michael and have no say, and was not involved in the interview yesterday with the Utah Jazz general manager. So, Chris, when you hear that as a basketball guy, that Pax has made it clear, and I confirm this, Casey has been all over this, as his colleague, that Pax has made it clear to every candidate they're talking to, I'll do whatever you ask. If you don't want me involved at all, the Reinsdorfs have other things I can do. I won't even get involved and wasn't even on the interview yesterday. What do you think of that?
Well, from Friday, Adrian Wojnarowski's column that came out with the news, he made it appear as if both Gar Forman and John Paxson are completely aware of the situation that's taking place. So, like, sitting here on Tuesday, I'm not really concerned about whether or not Pax is behind the scenes doing something, if he's up to something. I think Adrian Wojnarowski said on his podcast on Friday, and you played the clip yesterday, that Gar and Pax knew what was coming. Yeah, to me, the concern about behind the scenes has kind of been eliminated. I'm not worried about that today. I'm worried about finding the best possible candidate. And I think it's a little interesting that over the course of this starting up on Friday and then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, that we've seen multiple top line candidates say that they're not interested. I'm not worried about Pax. If you're a Bulls fan, you're still worried about it. Like, it, clearly they're moving in a different direction and that he's not going to be a part of it. That's not what I'm concerned about today. I'm concerned about getting the best possible candidate.
So yesterday's interview was with Justin Zanuck, done by video, and John Paxson was not a part of that interview. But I can tell you, this is with 100% certainty, the move to hire a new, impactful front office voice was driven in large part by John going to Michael and Jerry saying, we got to make changes. We've had a lot of run here. It hasn't worked. For the best thing for the franchise, we need to hire a new GM, and he's got to have autonomy. And from what I was told, Jerry said to John, okay, I'm on board. Michael said, I'm on board, but we want you to stay in the organization in some role. Team ambassador, whatever it is. And John said, I'll do whatever the new guy wants. If he feels I can be of some help to him, great. But it's his call. And they were cool with that. So they interviewed Justin Zanuck yesterday, and they plan to do the same with Nuggets GM Arturis Karnišovas this week. That KC reported that, and I'm hearing from multiple guys in the league that the number one guy on the list is the Nuggets GM Arturis Karnišovas, and he would get more authority than he has in Denver. He would get more money than he makes in Denver, and that the Bulls indeed were given permission where they were not given permission to talk to the assistant general manager, or excuse me, the general manager in Toronto. They wanted to talk to Bobby Webster, but he is going to get a new deal with more power and more money, and he is choosing to stay, and they're not even going to allow the Bulls to talk to him. So they wouldn't have the ability to try and hire him away anyway. And I'm hearing that Heat assistant GM Adam Simon, who's been there 25 years, he grew up in Miami. He is very close to Pat Riley, and he probably was not the number one guy on the list. So does that make you feel better that this Karnišovas could be the guy? Or Zanuck has also a history as an agent, and so that might also help if he was the guy.
Yeah, I mean, Karnišovas, you look at what he did in Denver. They built through the draft. He's one of the driving forces to why they found Nikola Jokic, who's one of the best young players in the Western Conference. Yeah, I mean, to me, he is he fits the mold of what this franchise wants to be. Right? Like, build smart through the draft with young players that you can re-sign, keep within your team. The Nuggets have not been a team out in free agency landing big stars. So I think that's something that you have to consider and say that that may be a negative when you look at that option. Jeff Zanuck, though, when you look at the Utah Jazz, much of the same, right? A team built with young stars able to re-sign said stars, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and the like. So when you look at Utah and you look at Denver, kind of both much of the same. Neither are going to win a championship. Right. They are good in the Western Conference, neither at the top of the heap, though, because you have teams that have LeBron James and Anthony Davis on them, and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on them, and the Golden State Warriors. So good teams, successful, growing from within through the draft, which is something that needs to happen. But then, you know, you look at maybe the other part of it that Bulls fans have kind of been without in recent years. These two individuals do not have a track record of going out and signing and landing top free agents. Ryan Russillo told Abdallah and I at the All-Star break that Zanuck is someone to watch. He was someone he pointed out to us at the All-Star break, like, behind the scenes, watch out for Zanuck. He's a guy that has been interviewed for jobs in the past. He's a hot name. Watch what Utah's doing. And Russillo told us about that back at the All-Star break. So I'm not surprised that he's a name here and a good option. I think both are good candidates. I think if you're a Bulls fan, though, you have to ask yourself, is that all you want? Is the teams that draft well and then kind of get to that point where they're the second, third best team in the conference, but they're never really the team of the conference? Because that's what the Nuggets and the Jazz kind of are.
Correct, but those are also markets that financially might be hamstrung to try and go out and get the biggest stars.
Well, true. Okay.
Zanuck's also a Northwestern, Northwestern grad,
yeah.
Has been an agent. In fact, he represented Omer Asik when he signed an offer sheet with the Rockets and left the Bulls in 2012.
So to your counter, I will counter with this. Have the Bulls operated in free agency like a large market team or a middle-of-the-pack team? How have they operated in the last few years?
Well, when they tried to get LeBron and Wade, they were operating like a large market team.
10 years
ago. That was 10 years
ago. Correct. Now, they had a very good team till Derek blew out, and then from that point on, you're right, they haven't.
So like, and listen, I'm not being anti either of these candidates because I think they both can get this team back to being a very competitive team in the Eastern Conference where you're competing for Eastern Conference championships. Now, whether or not that these individuals have the track record to land players to get, then get a championship, I think that is a valid criticism. But then when you look at the options available, if Simon from the Miami Heat is unwilling to leave the Heat, okay, well, that's a guy who has credentials. If Webster can't get out of Toronto, that's a guy with championship credentials. It seems like the available options of guys who are with teams who have accomplished that goal of winning a championship, the field is starting to shrink in and get narrow.
Okay, what if I said to you that Simon was not at the top of their list and that perhaps the two guys that they have zoomed in on and have been are these two guys, one with agency ties in Zanuck, which seems to be the way some teams have gone, and then Karnišević of Denver. I'm hearing from people I trust in the league that he is really, really good. And as KC wrote again this morning, while Executive Vice President John Paxson is expected to remain in an advisory role, he has made it clear to ownership he will play as small or large a role that the new hire desires. I've been reporting that as well for months. Ownership has conveyed this to potential candidates. In fact, the new hire will be allowed to assemble the front office infrastructure as he sees fit, including, ultimately, a decision on the coaching staff.
You know, you know what's interesting about Karnišević? I've been reading up about him. He's been offered basically or interviewed for this similar job every year since 2016.
Yeah.
He interviewed with the Nets. He wouldn't leave Denver. He interviewed with the Bucks. He wouldn't leave Denver. He turned down an interview with the 76ers, whose roster is incredible, back in 2018. So what leads us to believe, and listen, I love Chicago. I love the Bulls. What leads us to believe that this job, this Bulls job, is good enough to get him finally to say goodbye to Denver and Tim Connelly, who he's been the right-hand man to all along?
Yeah, I'm going to bet he's the guy. Because from what I heard, here's why. From what I heard, the Reinsdorfs were not thrilled with hiring someone who had a ton of agent experience. They wanted someone more well-versed in basketball experience. Zanuck has some and has become a very good cap guy. Karnišević is wildly connected because he was FIBA Player of the Year in Europe. He is wildly connected in Europe where a lot of players are coming from. And as Chris astutely pointed out, they brought Nikola Jokic. He was part of the group that made the trade with the Bulls to get Doug McDermott to Chicago and Gary Harris and Josef Nurkic?
Yeah,
Nurkic. Those two in that deal. So he has some pretty good success. Denver's become a very, very good team, but not the best team in the West. So perhaps he wants to play in a deeper pool. Maybe he wants, as one guy said to me, it's New York, Chicago, and the two LAs. That is the elite stage that every executive wants to play on. And as bad as it's gotten here, as apathetic as the fan base has become, perhaps he's looking going, hey, man, if I go in there and get that thing turned around and they're back in the playoffs and actually have a very good team, with the Chicago market and my contacts, I can get free agents. We'll discuss your thoughts. 312-332-3776. Interesting news for Hard Knocks fans. That's next.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Let me introduce myself.
Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000. With Danny and Chris, I'm Cap, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Don't forget the big game, round one, me against Yerk, 12:35 today. Marcus Spears talks to us, talk football. At 11 o'clock.
Cap, a couple of minutes ago, you were telling us about what people have told you about the job that's open for the Chicago Bulls.
Yep.
The head of basketball operations. And you were saying what about the job? You were saying that you've been told from people in the league that it's a fantastic job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that it's the Knicks, New York, Chicago, and the two LAs.
Are the best jobs in the league because it's the biggest stages that everyone wants to play on.
So I'm not going to disagree with that idea. I would just put out there as you were saying it, in my head, I was thinking to myself, well, if that's the case, why are the Bulls not being able to interview the very best elite candidates then? What is that reason?
Well, in terms of the Toronto one, they don't have to let him interview, period.
Okay, but they're not going to attempt or interview
Bobby Webster.
Masai Ujiri, though.
Correct.
Okay, so elite candidate off the board, right?
Correct.
Okay, his understudy, I would suggest a bit of an elite candidate, right, off the board.
Correct.
Who else are elite candidates out there? Who are the best of the best in the NBA running organizations, finding the best talent, and being able to implement it into wins on the court?
Well, if they're presidents of other teams, you can't get them if they're under contract. They're not. Teams are not going to let you poach their president. Now, if you're going to give them a promotion.
I feel like for this exercise, though, I get it. You can get mixed up in the logistics and the actual contract lingo, but usually in the NBA, if someone wants to do something, there's a way to always accomplish and accommodate if someone wants to go somewhere, right? Like, how did Doc get to the Clippers?
Yeah, but we didn't have a pandemic going on. It's totally different.
I'm just saying, if you have a elite job that's open and elite candidates wanted said job,
mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking out loud to why is the, because here's the thing. It seems as if it is not the A-plus candidate that the Bulls are going to get to talk to or hire. It's like that B candidate, which very good, could be a very successful hire. Absolutely. Which the fan base will love, and I think we would all enjoy as well. But it seems to me as if there is a level of candidate that the Bulls will not even be in play for based on the fact that maybe it isn't as elite as we are being
told.
Well,
first of all, with what's going on economically, I would be stunned if any team, any, is going to say, okay, you got 8 years left on your deal in Oklahoma City and you're probably making $8 million a year. Okay, we'll go 8 years, $10 million a year. An $80 million commitment with no revenue coming in was never going to happen because this is about multiple hires. They're going to have multiple. I'm talking about not like two new guys. There's going to be like a bunch of new guys working in that front office.
Yeah, that's how it works.
So, but with no economy, I'm just telling you, there's no way they were going to pay $80 million to one guy now.
Yeah,
not going to happen.
But I'm just talking about who are the candidates who are elite candidates in the league And why are there not Zoom conference calls going on with said elite candidates for this job?
Well, first
it seems to me as if it is the B-plus candidate that they are getting interviews with.
Not necessarily. Zanuck was the guy you just said. Russillo said, keep your eye on that guy. Really good. They interviewed him yesterday.
And Zanuck's second in command with the Jazz, right?
Correct.
Okay. That's my point.
You mean you're saying, because if you're a team president somewhere else, you're not getting out of your deal. They're not going to let you do it, especially during a pandemic. The owner of Toronto has said, you're not getting Bobby Webster. You can't even talk to him. Not going to let it happen. Even though he's not even the top dog there.
Again, if there's a will, there's a way sometimes in the NBA. And I just think it's fascinating the way it's positioned is this is one of the best jobs in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think there's a lot of potential for growth. And I think that the way the franchise is kind of just assumed their place in the hierarchy in the city with fans was not right, because I think you do need a little TLC with it, and you need a little rehab project here to get it back to what we were seeing, 10 years ago.
Agreed.
And what we were seeing in the 90s. So I think once you apply that, this will be one of the very best franchises in the league. So desirable job.
The apathetic fan base that we've seen the last 2 years, if they get this right, and if they, I'm not saying go out and sign LeBron James away from the league. If they get this right, the fan base will come back.
Yeah, listen, this is not the Blackhawks of the 90s.
Agreed.
This is not that at all. And it's not even the White Sox, right? Like, the White Sox have problems even when they're competitive drawing fans. The Bulls, the moment you turn the lights back on with the operations that is heading into the right direction, people will immediately be back and the buzz will be back. That's a no-brainer.
Agreed. 312-332-3776. So I'm not a huge Hard Knocks guy. Like, it's run its course for me, but a lot of people are. I'm in the minority. Danny loves it. He can't get enough of it. And now Hard Knocks is going to be a little bit different. Now, that's, again, if we get training camps back and all of it. But let's assume that we do have some sort of a training camp back. Danny, how are they changing all of this? And do you think that people like me who thought it might have run its course, that perhaps we might be interested in watching again?
I don't know if people like you will be interested in watching, Cap. You poo-poo Hard Knocks all the time, and I don't understand why. But according to the great and powerful Adam Schefter, for the first time ever, Hard Knocks is planning on supersizing the show, and they're going to feature two teams this summer. They're going to feature the Los Angeles Rams and the Los Angeles Chargers. As a diehard Hard Knocks fan, I personally don't love this idea. I like the idea of them zooming in on one team, getting to know one team's players, getting to know all the storylines. When it ends on a Wednesday night, I look forward to next Wednesday so I can find out more about the team, learn more about the players. Now they're going to spread it over two teams. I feel like it's going to be a lot more fluff and a lot less dialed in on each team. But that's just me.
But if the... And I'm not questioning you. I'm just simply playing devil's advocate. If they said to you, yeah, but we're being told by the league, access is going to be different. Camps are going to be much shorter. So we want to be able to give you more content. Would that change your opinion?
Nothing's going to change my opinion. This isn't an argument. You know, this isn't an argument or a debate where there's a winner and a loser. Mm-hmm. My opinion is Danny Zetterman, a person that likes Hard Knocks, wants to see one team.
Yeah,
I don't want to see it both ways.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if they're being
told privately. That's a fair question to ask,
privately.
But nothing's going to affect my opinion.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if they're being told privately, hey, your access isn't going to be the same. You're not going to have as much content. And they're like, well, hold on a minute. We got to fill all this. Well, let's give you two teams, and it'll be more. As Danny said, you like to see the inner workings, the nuts and bolts, and you may get more cursory stuff. I don't know. It's interesting. The draft will be virtual this year. Ryan Pace has to do it from his house. And I think the only person he can have in his house is an IT guy, besides his own family. And that IT guy obviously will have his temperature checked and all of it. And that's the way it's going to be in every single city. You cannot go back into the facility where you have your war room. Not allowed. The facilities are closed by order of the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell. So, what could go wrong? Can we get this thing right? Plus Marcus Spears at 11. We'll be right back.
This is Cap and Company.
something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. Let's go to the phones. Jerry's on its southwest side listening to our show. Jerry, what's up, Sparky?
Hi, David. This was fast. Thank you for getting me on so quick. So, hey, I know the last few days have been going on about the whole thing with John Paxson. I know you've said repeatedly you've heard from sources that he's the one pushing this, and he's happy to do anything or nothing, but... and I'm not I'm playing devil's advocate here because I'm not saying that I think it's going to screw anything up, but there are cases where that wouldn't work, right? I mean, just go back to 2007, right? When Dollar Bill Wirtz died, do you think it would have worked for John McDonough and the Bowmans if they had said, you know what, Bob Pulford's just going to stay here. He'll have whatever you want him to do. He'll stay in the room, but you tell him what to do. Wasn't it really important in that case that he was gone, out of the building, gone? No role in the Blackhawks at all. Was that important, David?
Yeah, but I mean, if they had said he'll do whatever you want, whoever came in, like John McDonough, would have said, "Yeah, I'm good. I don't need him." He's still employed by the. I still think to this day he collects a check from the Wirtzes. They didn't.
So that's important. So you're saying the new person could come in and say, "John, I don't want you to do anything. Just stay home. You know, just collect a check." Is he saying he wants some role? He'll be an ambassador. Like that's right. I mean, because I still hear that he
will literally. I was told, and I have this with 100% authority. He will do whatever the new guy says. If he says, you know what, John, I don't need you involved in basketball operations, he would say, I'm good. I will do projects for Jerry and Michael, whether that is being an ambassador, whether it's doing this, whether it's doing that, and not be involved. If you want me to scout for, I'll do anything you want. He is the guy that went to Michael and then to Jerry and said, we need to make a change. It's time.
Yeah. And I hear that. That's why I'm saying I don't think that it's going to make that big of a difference. But I do. You do look at some cases and say that, boy, you needed to get certain guys out of the room to sort of make the new people coming in and feel comfortable. But if you're saying that the new person come in and say, John, I want you to do zero. I want you gone. And you just get paid. That probably is fine, but I got it. I guess I was hearing from you saying that he's going to still be there. He's going to be in the room, and if things aren't going
well, he's not
going
to be in the basketball room if the new guy doesn't want him. Now I can tell you, he is. This is not the same about Gar, but John is very well liked and respected by other executives. He is. He has a great relationship with the people in the league. But if whoever it is, I think it's going to be the guy from Denver. But if it's the guy from Utah or somebody else, and they decide. Yeah, I'm good. I don't need you for anything. Then he won't do anything. He'll work for the organization, but he won't be in the basketball room. That's just a fact.
Have you heard, is he going to have any role in talking to these candidates?
I know he was not on the, and Joe Colley first reported this, he was not involved in the interview yesterday.
Okay. That's all I wanted to ask you. Thanks.
You got it. See ya. 312-332-3776. Eddie's out on the Edens. Hey, Eddie, what's up, man?
How's it going, man? Man, it's the city is amazing, but the city also has high taxes, a high crime rate, and then it's just like your owner said no to Michael Jordan, but that still resonates now.
Okay, that's 22 years ago. It's not going to change tomorrow. It's not going to change next year. Michael owns another team, so at some point, they have to move past that. They had a team that won 60-whatever games when Tom Thibodeau was here and their best player blew his ACL out. That's all fact. That's all gone in the past, but they're still going to have a team. So at some point, they have to move past all of that, and they've got to continue to draft well. The new guy has to be way better in player development than the Bulls have been, and then let's see where it goes.
Oh, man, that's a big ask, man. That is a very big ask.
Well, but when they were rolling along before Derek got hurt, it wasn't a big ask.
No, it wasn't. We were all on cloud nine.
Right. So you're telling me they can't get back to that?
It's hard. It's hard when, like, you see their blunder, like, years of mishap. It's just, it's like, even your young guys, like, they want out. Like,
I don't believe they want out. And I think with a new direction and a new front office, I don't think they want out. I think they're tired of getting their head kicked in. I think that for sure.
I know fans are for sure.
No doubt about it. And I think Chris and I both summed it up before the last break that, you know, I walk into a sports bar. I've told this story with my wife to do one of our White Claw pub crawls. There are 20-whatever TVs on in a sports bar in the suburbs of Chicago, and not one had the Bulls-Nets game on. Not one. They got freaking women's basketball, high school boys basketball, harness racing, hockey from other markets not involving the Blackhawks, and the Bulls are not on one television, period.
Yeah,
I still think the fan base is hungry and will come back if they see a plan and they buy into it, and that meant new executives. That's just a fact. Hey, man, Eddie, be good. Stay safe.
You too, man. You too.
All right. See you, bud. 312-332-3776. Corey in Evergreen Park. Hey, Corey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, this is Corey from Evergreen Park. What's up, Cap? Real quick, man. Mm-hmm. Why do people keep saying that the Chicago job and the New York Knicks jobs are these great jobs because they're in Chicago and New York? That's an old way, old man sitting in the back room with cigars way of thinking.
Well, actually, not.
If I was a GM, I'd take a smaller market like Milwaukee or OKC over Chicago. And the last caller who said, Michael Jordan still has a stench on this organization. If you do not re-sign the best player to ever put on a pair of shoes, who in their right mind wants to come here? Why do you think LeBron didn't come? The only reason why D-Wade came is because they overpaid him. Michael Jordan's legacy is still a stench on this on the Chicago Bulls.
Okay, let me just tell you that I called three people in the league right now. One, a current head coach, and he's not working for the Bulls. Three of them over the weekend, and they said Chicago is one of the best jobs in the NBA, period.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that's a fact, man. These are guys in the league right now, and I'm not talking about 80-year-old guys. I'm talking about young guys.
So what's taking so long for us to get to? Is it the fact that Reinsdorf is too buddy-buddy? If it's such that if this place is so amazing, I'm a Chicago-born, born and raised here, 50 years old, it's not one of the best places in the world, man. It's just not. I don't know what people are seeing.
I'm just telling you, guys in the league, this is not me being a Chicago guy. I'm just telling you guys in the league, not media, guys that work in the league, all said, top four job in the league, period. And that guys.
If you had a chance right now, Cap, and I'll let you go on this. No, you got to go. If you had a chance right now to be the GM of the Milwaukee Bucks or the Chicago Bulls, what are you taking?
Chicago.
Absolutely crazy. Take it easy, buddy.
See you, bud. Absolutely. Now, is my goal to win the title this year? Okay, I'll take Milwaukee. They're a better team. Long term? Man, you walk in here. First of all, let's lay out the positives. You have an owner who is as loyal as any owner in any sport. So you know you're going to get time. A. B, from what I've been told, they're paying significant money to upgrade this front office. Not just whoever comes in to replace John. Overhaul scouting, done. You want new coaches? Done. You want to upgrade whatever it is in the offices? Like the Cubs have, I don't know, a multi-million-dollar computer system? Done. You do what you got to do, and you have full authority. Full authority. You're in Chicago. You got tradition. Your facilities are phenomenal. The United Center, you got a fan base that's just itching to get back involved. The Advocate Center is as good as they have in the league. They've got every single thing as an advantage. And when we get past COVID-19 and they make this hire and then he goes out and starts to add to his front office and then changes coaches and continues to put this thing together, yeah, long term, it's a phenomenal job for the right guy. Phenomenal. 312-332-3776. Marcus Spears on the NFL, virtual drafting, all of it. Next in 2 minutes.